Turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 17 for our thoughts this morning. Exodus chapter 17. You get there, please stand. If you can. Exodus chapter 17. Let's look at verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah, or Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And then came Amalek and fought with Rephidim. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you and thank you for this opportunity to stand before your congregation and preach the holy and blessed gospel. I thank you for this honor, Lord. I just pray that you'll give me the words to say that I might speak with boldness and authority. Those truths laid upon my heart, speak to your people. And Father, I pray that you'll honor the requests that have been spoken this morning, those unspoken and those that, again, we've sounded out before you. You know the needs before we even ask. But we just pray that you'll just hear our requests and your will be done. Most of all, we pray now as we get the breaking of the bread of life, we ask that you bless it and that, Lord, may your word speak to our hearts. Encourage us in your word this morning. And Lord, if there's one that knows you not, may they be saved before it's too late. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Savior. And again, I thank you for this church, your church, and I thank you for the opportunity I have being able to stand before your people. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. We just heard a song about God will make a way. You would have thought that the children of Israel would have had that down. Amen. I mean, he delivered them out of Egypt. And as they are heading to the promised land, the Bible says in place and there was no water. And they were thirsty. And they begin to murmur and complain and chide with God's leader. Amen. And the thing is, isn't it amazing? They saw God in the cloud. They saw him at night as a light. They knew he was there with them all the time. But yet they didn't have enough faith to trust God. Isn't that like us today? We know God's around. We believe he's around. But when we come to obstacles in life, guess what? We question God. But I'm here to tell you, God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't care what need you have, God will meet that need according to his will. Amen? So here they are, murmuring and complaining. And you know, Moses, he was quite a man. Quite a leader. You know, he had a lot more patience than some of us. Amen? Some of us would have probably took the staff and started hitting them instead of the rock. Amen. But listen, he goes to the source, the only source that can help us. And if we could only recognize when we have issues, go to the source. Go to God. He is the answer. So he goes to God and says, Lord, these people, they're going to kill me. They are so angry. And bottom line is they lacked faith. That was their problem. So God instructs him, you take the elders, you go to this rock, and you smite the rock with your staff. Now, smiting the rock, what does that picture? It pictures the suffering of Christ on the cross. Because Christ is the rock. You see, Christ is the rock for all of us. Amen? So he smites the rock. And now you're looking at 2 million people or more. You're looking at their livestock. Think about it. It wasn't a little trickle that came out of that rock. It was a gusher. It had been like, in my mind, been like a crack in Boulder Dam over here. The water gushed, and over 2 million people and livestock got their fill. Because that's how God is. Amen. But listen to me. We don't get by with murmuring and complaining. Amen. Because did you read what he said in verse 8? Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. Now understand, they're on their way to the promised land. And they're out of water. They're thirsty. God supplies that need. But because of their murmuring and their complaining, they come against their first enemy, Amalek. How many of you know who Amalek was descended of? Esau. Esau. And remember Saul being instructed by Samuel to destroy everything that King Agag was over? And he spared him. Remember, over in the book of Esther, remember Haman desired to completely wipe out the Jews. He was also an Amalek. He was a descendant of Saul. So God raised up this army to teach the children of Israel a lesson. Listen, when you and I are struggling and we give in to sin or we lack faith and trust when something arises in our life like health issues or loss of a job or whatever, when we don't have faith in Him, we murmur and complain and blame God, believe me, He's going to answer our prayer, but we're also going to pay a price because it's impossible to please God if we don't have faith. So here is the Amalekites. Now, this is the very first time they're on the way to the promised land, the very first time now that they're going to go into battle. Now, let's pick up from verse 8. And Moses said unto Joshua, and this is the very first mention of Joshua in the scriptures. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now, there's not a whole lot said about Hur. We know about Moses. We know about Joshua. We know about Aaron. But when it comes to Hur, there's not a whole lot of scripture about him here. Kind of like he was invisible. But for this certain time, appointed time, by the way, He was on the hill with Moses and Aaron. Joshua was in the valley with the men of valor there in Israel fighting the Amalekites. Notice what it says. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So, here's Moses. Got the rod of God. And he's holding his hands up on the hill. As long as his hands and arms are raised, Israel, the Israelites, are winning against the enemies, the Amalekites. And by the way, the Amalekites picture the flesh. Amen? You and I battle the flesh every day, don't we? What gives us victory over the flesh? The Lord Jesus Christ, through what? The Holy Spirit. So, he's got his arms up, but he's holding them up, and they begin to fall. Because after all, got tired. They become heavy. And the Bible says that when they came down, the Amalekites would prevail. So, Aaron and Hur, each one gets on one side and the other gets on the other side, and they hold up his arms till sundown. And of course, the next verse says that Joshua prevailed with the army of Israel and defeated the enemy. Now, again, I want you to understand, there's not a lot about Hur you'll find in Scripture. Over in chapter 24 of Exodus, it mentions that he was pretty popular with the people. But pretty much, that's basically it till you come to the Exodus 31. But here's a man that appears out of nowhere, an act of God, and then boom, he's gone. I don't know about you, but I want to say this. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for men like her. Men that'll serve in the background. Amen. And church, maybe some of you think that no one recognizes, no one, you know, cares that you're serving in the background. I care. I recognize you. I'm thankful for you because I understand why. And I'm what I am today because of you. You see, I might be in the first line. I might be first team. You might be second team. But understand, you're somebody in God's eyes. And God recognizes your service. And I also recognize your service. Amen. Because without you, I wouldn't be who I am today. You don't mind playing second fiddle. Listen, all of us, if you'll read 1 Corinthians 12 concerning the body of Christ, every one of us have a specific job to do. And even though some of us, say, are in the first line and others are in the second line, listen to me, your job is important in the body of Christ, and we all are serving as one to glorify our Lord. So remember that. You say, well, nobody recognizes that I clean the church. God does. God does. Well, nobody recognizes that I pick people up and bring them to church. God does. Nobody recognizes the things I do around here. Well, always be mindful. God does. And if you are doing it to be recognized anyways, then your heart's not right. We don't do it for the recognition. Amen? We don't do it for the recognition. A lot of y'all, sometimes I'll preach and a message will be just what you need and you'll tell me you're thankful. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm nothing. It's God's Word. I don't take credit for God's Word. Yes, I appreciate the encouragement, But listen, anything that comes out of this old mouth or this old mind comes from God. It ain't nothing I can do. But listen to me. I am not so ignorant or naive enough to know that if it wasn't for some of you lifting up this preacher and praying that the message will be what God needs the body to hear, we would be in trouble. And I thank you for that. Amen. I'm thankful. Men like her are valuable. Very valuable. But yet, notice, I can't help but think after that great victory that God gave the Israelites as they go back to camp, I can imagine when Joshua and the men of valor came back to camp, there was a lot of hooray, wonderful job, way to go, slapping on the back and all. I can imagine the same thing when Aaron came back into the camp and went to the tabernacle to thank the Lord for the victory. I can imagine slapping on the back saying, way to go, Aaron. And of course, Moses, the leader of the people, when he came back, way to go, Moses. But here comes her, and not one slap on the back, not one way to go, because after all, nobody knew what he did except the Lord. The Lord knew well what he did. And God knows and sees everything that we do. And he will reward us according to his service. I can't help but think, you know, in heaven when it was all over, God said, you know what? Well done. Well done, her. But her didn't go and say, hey, you know what I did? You know what I did? I was right there with Moses. I was there with Aaron. I lifted up Moses' hands and his arm and held it till sunset so that we could have the victory. No, he didn't toot his own horn. He just tiredly probably walked to his tent. But he served with gladness of heart. You know what David said? I always try to remember a lot of things that he says and kind of patterned myself after David, because after all, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Even though there was issues in his life from time to time, he wasn't perfect. None of us are. But David said this. He says, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents for the wicked. Now, back then, the doorkeeper was just that. You were a doorman. Open, close. Open, close. But see, serving God is worth any effort. Amen? And that's what I want to encourage you about this morning, church. We serve God, and we do it not to be seen. We serve God to glorify our Father in heaven. And we don't take credit for what only He can do. Sure, Moses was a man of faith, and he's in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11. So is Joshua. They were great men. But those men were used of God because they loved the Lord. They made themselves available. You say, well, can God use an ordinary person? Absolutely. I'm one standing before you. I get tongue-tied. Amen. I stutter sometimes. Listen to me. I ain't nothing apart from what God done to save me. The only reason he uses me is not because I'm a great orator. I'm something great. No, no. He used me just because I've made myself available. And he'll do the same thing with any of you if you'll make yourself available. But you see, they're so valuable, the hers that are in the church. Where would the church have hers in the church? Think about that for a second. We would be in trouble. If everybody wanted the limelight, just in case. Those of you saying, well, I could do better than you, preacher. Well, get up here. Amen. Come on. But listen to me. Just remember what James tells us. James chapter 3. Be careful what you ask for. You might get it. Amen. James chapter 3. Look at verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Did you hear me? Remember that. Those that are in the first line are accountable to God. They're accountable to God. And there have been many times I thought, oh my Lord, why couldn't I have just sat in a pew? Just sat in a pew. Yes, serve you, Lord, but just sat in a pew. But no. It's a calling, and I'm thankful for it. But remember the judgment. It's not all easy peasy. Well, it looks easy. It's not. I'm going to tell you, it's not. I heard a story about William Booth. Him and his wife were in London, and they were at a bishop's conference there. Of course, they're Methodists. They were at a bishop's conference, and God had been dealing with his heart to go to the street and preach the gospel. So he goes before the bishop that's presiding, over this meeting, and he tells them the burden God has laid on his heart to go to the streets and preach to people in the streets. Well, the bishop said, absolutely, positively, a man like you, with your education and your ability, absolutely, positively, no, you're not going to be released from your duties at the church. You just go sit down. Well, he left discouraged and in defeat and took his seat. Well, his wife was on the second floor. You see, they didn't allow the women on the floor. But she leaned over the rail and called her husband and said, darling, you obey God, not man. I am going to be with you, and I'm going to back you no matter what phone comes our way. He says, come on down, honey. She came down. He took her by the arm. Out the door they went, and from that time on, they shared the gospel to the people on the streets, and that's where you got your Salvation Army today. So listen to me. Thank God for those that serve in the background, that are in the shadows, that don't say a whole lot, but they're there supporting. Yeah. I can also say I've been blessed with a wife like that too. She's always supported me when I've been discouraged. I've been able to talk to her. We've been able to pray. And she always says the same thing. Hey, let's give it to God. Go on, do what you're supposed to do. And it's because of her faithfulness and her backing me that I can stand before you. I hadn't thrown in the towel. I'm thankful for her service. But she doesn't say, hey, look at me. And beloved, that's the way we're supposed to be. Here is her, a man, at one particular time, God used. Here's a man that goes back to camp. Everybody, Moses knew. Aaron knew who he was. Of course, God knows. But nobody else in the camp knew anything about him. But that was okay. He didn't toot his horn. Again, when you study Scripture, you'll find he's only mentioned a few times in the Word. But listen to me. people watch me and you and see how we serve the Lord and if it's important to us. Amen? Moms and dads, understand your kids are watching you to see how you're going to handle the little things that God puts before you in service. Lost people are watching us to see if God is really real to us and He really matters. There's always someone watching. Turn to Exodus 31. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Bezalel was called by the Lord to build the tabernacle for the children of Israel so that God might meet with His people. And God saw Bezalel out of the millions there that He could have chose. He chose the grandson of Hur. You say, well, Brother John, what does that have to do with anything? Understand, I'm sure the grandson of Hur had watched his grandfather serve God quietly behind the shadow. And he saw how faithful he was. He probably remembered that time when he came off the hill and everybody was high-fiving Moses and Aaron and Joshua, but he watched Grandpa just wearily go to his tent without any hoorah. So it stuck with him. Again, who saw? The Lord saw. He sees everything that we do. Remember what Jesus said to Mary when she anointed His feet and broke that alabaster box, anointed His feet with her hair? He said, she has done all she could. Let me ask you this morning, child of God, Low Mountain Missionary Baptist Church, are you doing everything you can for the glory of the Lord? Are you praying for the pastor? I need your prayers. You pray for me. You pray that the Lord will prepare my heart as I study His Word to bring forth a message that this church needs to hear. You pray for me that the Lord will give me strength to not be discouraged. Give me strength. Keep on keeping on in studying the Word and praying. You pray for those that preach, that teach, that play the instruments, that do everything around here. And generally, yeah, there's a handful that you can count on all the time. And they usually end up doing the majority of the work. But listen to me. They're only able to do what they do is because you in the background praying for them. But listen, if you want to make yourself available, I can assure you the Lord will use you. I assure you. You never know what God is going to do. But this I do know. He sees everything. He knows everything. Don't worry about being rewarded. I don't do this to say, oh, I'm going to have so many crowns when I walk up and down the streets of glory. They're going to know who I am. Nah. Nope. If, and I do pray I get some crowns because I want to be able to present them to my Savior. He is worthy. Not me. I'm just a sinner that He had mercy upon. that saved me by His precious blood because of His grace and mercy. But again, thank God for the hers that are in the church. I love you and I appreciate you, and please don't quit. I know sometimes the devil loves to tell us, nobody cares. They don't recognize you. If they did, they'd say something. Quit. Don't quit on God ever. Ever. Don't even let it enter your mind. You stay faithful to God because He's faithful to us. And He loves us. You say, well, I've got some conditions. I can't really. God understands. And again, if it's just praying for us, if it's just sitting on the pew, be faithful. Because God gets the glory. Again, people murmured, they complained. God provided, they still complained. God says, okay, I'm going to send the Amalekites. And they attacked them. By the way, picture the flesh. I battle with the flesh every day, so do you. But how do we get victory over the flesh? Through the Spirit of God, by way of Jesus Christ on the cross. So He sends them. But see, God also gave them a great victory. Their first victory over the enemy, if you will. And used a nobody. What's that song Joey sang about, you know which one, sister, what's it called? I'm a nobody, he's a everybody. Or, anyways, that's us. We're nobodies. Huh? I'm just about some. Thank you. That's us. I am a nobody. But I'm trying to tell somebody. Amen. Nobody. But I do know somebody. And He's on His throne. So, again, I love you and I appreciate your service. I appreciate you praying for me. Appreciate you supporting us. And I love you for it. But I beg you, don't quit. Don't ever quit. Just keep on. Again, sometimes it's a thankless job. That's okay. Because I and you aren't doing it be seen of men. We're doing it because we love the Lord and we want to honor Him. Amen. Now I know this wasn't one of those salvation messages, but just in case you're here and you don't know the Savior, I want to say this to you. Jesus loves you, sinner friend. And He wants you to be saved. If you want to miss hell and go to heaven, then He wants to save you. If you'll give me the privilege and honor of showing you how to be saved, I'm right here. I'll take care of that. But you got to come and you got to want to be saved. Would you do that this morning? Maybe you're here this morning and say, well, Lord, you know the message, it kind of hit my heart. I guess I've only been given half my ability. Kind of just been sitting there. And Lord, I want to apologize to you, and I want to fully surrender, and you just use me any way you see fit. Hey, when we give the invitation, come up to the Lord's altar and say, Lord, I'm going to commit myself from this day forward. I ain't much, but just use me for your honor and glory. Maybe you're here this morning, and again, you've come to the point where I'm just tired. Nobody seems to understand. The Lord does. Over in Matthew 6, Jesus said, lay not up treasure here on earth. Lay that treasure up in heaven. And beloved, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Don't worry about the world. The world's going to take care of itself. It's going to burn up one day. But everything that we do for Him will be rewarded in heaven for. In fact, you know, there's a passage over there in Mark, I think it's Mark 14, talking about how Jesus was ministered to by Mary and Salome and others. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has this to do with it. If they were there to lift Him up, minister to Him, our Savior, then what makes you think that we don't need the same thing? We need help. We need people lifting us up, people praying, people serving alongside of us. Aaron, her, they were alongside Moses. Well, I'm the first to tell you, I need you alongside me. So help me, please. Amen.